All right, you can be seated. Good morning. All right. Church, it's good to be with you guys this morning. We got some people traveling today because Vail breaks up the school year into like 45 different sections and has 2 weeks. I'm just kidding, man, but it's a good time to have fall break. I know my wife's looking forward to it as a teacher. Amen, right? So, but a couple things before we get started and dive into the message today. First, I want to say thank you to everyone that has committed to pray. One of the things that we've asked our church to do, we've called it Miles of Prayer. As we get closer and closer to moving to our new location, we've asked our church to just go out and prayer walk, right? That's what Emily's talking about, doing it on the treadmill. She's cheating, but no, it's good. That's good. It's good. Do it. Pray on the treadmill. So that Emily doesn't hit me. No, it's good. Pray in your community. Pray over the school that we're moving to. Pray up here, wherever it is. But just pray and seek God as we move. But it's been exciting. We've got over 100 miles. People have been praying. And so let's keep going, church. Let's get maybe, you know, I don't know, 1,000 miles. Let's just go for it, right? But no, it's been super good to see you guys devoted to that. So I just want to ask you, if you haven't done that, pull out that card, write down your name on there, and commit to how many miles you're going to pray for our church. Super excited about that. Second thing I wanted to share this morning was some news from this past week. A few weeks ago, we stopped and prayed for our friend Lori Thomas. And if you guys don't know who Lori Thomas is, she and her family were founding members of this church. They were at a different church and they said, we want to be a part of God, what God is doing through Authentic Life Church. And so they came out for 5 years, her and her family, Dan and Haley and Brandon, and served for 5 years with our church. In fact, Emily and I were talking about it. She actually helped start the welcome team here. And then after that, when my wife was moving or just focusing on kids' life, she helped lead the ladies' ministry. And so we prayed for her as she fought through her battle with COVID. This past Monday, around 2:30 in the morning, Lori went home to be with Jesus. And so many of you guys have been praying and encouraging the family. Many of us knew her well, and so it's been a difficult week. Jessica and I have described it as a heavy week, right? When you know someone and you love them, even though you know they're in a great place, amen, that is just still tough because we're not there. But we rejoice knowing that she's with Jesus, church, right? She is with the one that she told everyone else about. She is with the one who she served and worshiped and who she lived for. And so we're incredibly grateful to the Lord for his salvation and his promise to take us home with him when we leave this world, right? When we're absent from this body, we are present with Jesus. But in times like this, it does make you pause and be reminded that our lives are like a vapor, right? Our lives are like a vapor. Eternity is forever. Lori knew Jesus and made it a priority to tell others about Jesus, because here's the reality. Sometimes we push it off and say, wait, I'll wait until I'm older. I'll wait until I'm on my deathbed. Man, we don't know when that will be, right? And so your relationship with Jesus is vital. It's important. Do you know Jesus? So I want to encourage you guys to continue to pray for her husband, Dan, her 2 kids, Brandon and Haley, her brother, Matt, and then her parents, Bill and Wanda. Bill's a pastor at a church further, Tree of Life Church. Going blank on the name of it, but and then Wanda, Lori's mom, lost her dad a couple days ago too, and so their family just needs that encouragement. Church, there's not really a good way to transition to from that information to our message except to say this: God's timing is perfect. Today in our prayer series, we had this prayer series planned out a long time ago. In our prayer series. We come to a passage today in Philippians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. We've got Bibles in the back for you. I think we got a couple of them left. Emily, do we need more Bibles? You got more? Okay. So those Bibles are for you guys to take, but the words will be up on the screen as well. But we're going to see Paul lay out for us really the reality that we need to pray during times like this. When we find ourselves struggling and worrying and have a lot of questions, we can go to the Lord in prayer and we can trust him, right? Church, this past week, and also for the past year and a half, really, right, we have found ourselves in a season of hardship, right? A season of worry, a season of anxiety, and a season where we just have lots of questions. Church, we live in a broken world, right? We live in a broken world where we are experiencing division, sickness, loss, and heartache. And it's been a heavy season for our fragile world. That's what I've been thinking about and writing out this past week. It's been a heavy season for our fragile world. And people from all over the world are anxious. They're bothered. They're worried. They're carrying many, many loads. Maybe today you have things in your life that cause you to worry or be anxious. But today we come to a passage where the Bible tells us, if you are a Christian, the Bible's going to tell us, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious, but pray and give thanks. And so if you're like me, you look at it and you're saying, God, have you seen my last week? Right? Have you seen this last year? Right? How is it possible, right, with so much going on in our world, in our nation, in our personal life, how is it possible for us to not worry? And so we're going to go to this passage this morning and see what God is going to say to us today. So join me in your Bibles on the screen into Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. God uses the Apostle Paul to write these words to us. And so, guys, would you stand with us? We're going to honor God and his word, and we're going to read this passage together. Here's what God's word says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we gather as your people today to make much of Jesus, to hear from your word, to glorify you, to honor you, to celebrate what you've been doing in our lives, and just to come to your people, because sometimes we gather as your family just because we need encouragement. We need brothers and sisters to hold us up, and we know there are a lot of people that are hurting today. And so, God, we give all that to you, God. We pray, Lord, that you would be that shelter and that refuge, and know that you're near. God, be with us today as we just listen to you. Help us walk out of here more like Jesus than when we came in. Help us walk out of here closer to you. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus, or online that does not know Jesus, we pray, Lord, today that today they would listen and they would respond to your call to follow them, to follow you, and call on you to be their Savior. So God, we give you today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. We're walking through our prayer series. This is our fourth week. We got two more after this, and we come to us this passage here in Philippians chapter 4, and Paul is writing this passage, he's writing this letter to the church in a place called Philippi, and he's reminding them that although they face hardship and opposition and heaviness and persecution, they're facing moments that cause them to worry. Paul says, church, you can still rejoice because you know Jesus and you belong to the Lord Jesus. And he repeats that throughout this letter. He mentions joy in chapter 1, that they're following Christ, they have joy. In chapter 2, he talks about having joy when they are loving and they're united as a church family and when they're focused on following Jesus. In chapter 3, he says, rejoice in the Lord, and he's reminding them that our joy is not from anything this world offers. I think we need to hear that this morning, church, right? We don't rejoice in what this world has to offer us. We don't. Our joy is not found in everyday circumstances. Our true joy comes from Jesus. It comes from the Lord. And then in chapter 4, verse 4, we see it again. He says, okay, I've already said it to you a bunch, but I'm going to say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you missed it, again, I say rejoice. Now, keep in mind, Paul's writing this to people that are hurting and struggling and facing persecution. So it's not people that are just riding on the mountain. Amen, church, right? And I think he's repeating it over and over again because the church needed to hear it over and over again. I think, church, that we too need to hear this over and over again, because we are constantly, it's in our face all the time, problems of this broken world that cause us to lose focus and forget that Jesus is the source of our joy. And when we get caught up and lose sight of that joy, church, don't miss this part. When we lose sight that we have joy, even in moments of hardship, it leads us to worry, and it leads us to stress, and it leads us to anxiety. And the Bible is going to address that here for us today, talking about our worry. But first, he reminds them of this in verse 5. I love this, church. I've been repeating this to people all week. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. When we heard the news about Lori this week, it was a great reminder for us to know that, man, this is tough, God, but the Lord is near. When we walk through this past year, right? When COVID hit last year, we needed to be reminded that the Lord is near. During the hatred and division that we've seen over the last year, we need to be reminded that the Lord is near. As we walk through our personal struggles, be reminded that the Lord is near to you, right? He knows your thoughts, church, right? He knows your concern. He knows what you're carrying. He knows what makes you anxious. And here in this text, he calls on us to take all of that to the one who is near in prayer. Look with me to verse 6, and we're going to look at how we can pray while living in a world full of anxiety. This season has been a worry, or a season of worry and anxiety. How am I going to work? How am I going to find a new job? How am I going to homeschool my kids? How am I going to make it? Will we get through this? How are we going to get through this? How will I keep going after losing someone I love? In Philippi, they're also in this season of worry. They're facing the hardship, the persecution, the opposition. And Paul lays out for us what we are to do. What should our response be if we're Jesus followers, if we're Christians? What should our response be when we feel like we've lost control? What should our response be when we begin to worry, when we become anxious about things that are going on in our life? Side note, we don't need to be in control because the Lord does a much better job at that than we do. But in verse 6, Paul gets right at it. He's talking to the Christians here. He says this in verse 4, I know there's a lot going on, but rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. He says in verse 5, I know there's a lot going on, but don't forget the Lord is near, right? And then verse 6, he says this, I know there's a lot going on, church, but be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Different translations say the same thing in different ways. Do not be anxious about anything or don't worry about anything. Now, I want to begin by giving the biblical definition of the word anxiety here, because, church, there's different ways for us to look at anxiety. I need to be very clear. There is medical and clinical anxiety, right? It's a real thing, right? There's a real problem in our world today, and it is a good thing to seek help for that. I just need you all to hear that, right? It's not, you know, you're not weak because you're struggling with that. Amen, church? I just need you to know that. And that kind of anxiety, that clinical anxiety can be brought on by worrying and not trusting God. That can. It can happen that way. But our focus today is to focus on what this text is talking about and what we all face each and every day. The word anxious or anxiety that Paul uses in the Greek here means to be troubled with cares, right? To worry. It also means to be pulled in different directions, meaning we hear many different voices and don't really know what to do. Goodness, church, turn on three different news stations and you're going to be pulled in three different directions. I mean, it's just crazy, right? Or we're faced with choosing between two important things and it causes us to be anxious or worry. I like what commentator Warren Wiersbe said. He says, our hopes pull us in one direction, our fears pull us in the opposite direction, and we're pulled apart. That's the anxiety that we're talking about. And so it's what we face on a daily basis, the troubles, the struggles, the doubt, the uncertainty, the fears that lead us to be anxious and worried. We don't need to slip a hand up, because I think everybody except Benjamin might slip their hand up and say, we faced these moments, right? Maybe he has to, I don't know. And Paul just comes right out and he's saying, when you feel this coming, when you are weighed down with this world, whatever it is, when you are anxious or worried or being pulled apart, the first thing that the Bible says here is this, and we can trust the Bible, amen? Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. That's the first thing the Bible says. I'm going to sit down and talk to God about that when we get up there. Amen, church? But he said, don't worry about anything. And then he goes right into what our response should be. Look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Church, you can't misunderstand that, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, right, taking your request to God, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He says, church, don't worry. If you're a Christian, don't worry about anything, but take everything to God in prayer. That's on your notes. If you got your notes, don't worry about anything. Take everything to God in prayer. Whenever you begin to have an anxious or worried thought, we need to pause, church, and seek God in prayer about all of it, about everything. I think sometimes we have to stop and look at our life and see what we find ourselves doing instead of praying. Right? Whenever we begin to get anxious or worry, our first step seems to go and find some kind of self-help book, right? Or some kind of podcast or something. You don't find that in the Word of God. I mean, I'm sure they had podcasts back then, right? Or we try to fix it, church. Amen. We try to fix it, or we call our friends, and or we look to the internet. That's the best place to go. Abraham Lincoln said that. The best place to go for your anxiety is the internet. If y'all don't laugh at that, there's something wrong with you, okay? But God's saying, knock it off, right? Don't go to the self-help book first. Don't call your friends first, right? Don't go to the internet first. When you begin to worry or have anxiety about anything, stop and pray about everything. Whatever it is, pray about it. Too often we think that our worries may be insignificant, and so we don't pray. But God is saying, don't worry about anything, but take everything to me. Our first step when that tension hits, when that worry hits, is to stop and pray. Church, it sounds too simple, doesn't it? Right? But that's what God calls us to do. That's the first step. That's what he calls us to do, is stop and pray. I've always loved what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I remember years ago, I did this word-by-word study. I'm a theological nerd, so I just like to go and dive into each and every word. But he says this. He says, we are to cast all our cares and our worries and our anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you. Put your name in there, right? Autumn, cast all your cares and anxieties on him because he cares for you. To cast, the word cast means to, it's the same phrase of when you're going to throw something on the back. They would be familiar with this phrase. You would throw something on the back of a donkey. Why? Because that donkey is going to carry the load for you. It literally means to throw something onto something or someone else. And so you take your worries and your anxieties and we cast them onto Jesus and we give it to him. We take it to him. And not worrying is exactly what Jesus talks about in a place called, in Matthew chapter 6. Listen to what he says. This is Jesus talking. He says, therefore I tell you, just in case we thought that Paul was crazy, right? Jesus says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. Or don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or about your body or what you hear. Don't worry about anything, Jesus says. But pray about everything. It's often in times of worries that we forget certain promises that we have from God. I don't know if anybody y'all saw it this morning. If you guys didn't get out soon enough, man, there's a beautiful rainbow just over Tucson this morning. It just reminded me, and I spent time as I was driving to church this morning praying and thanking God for his promises. Mainly that he wasn't going to flood the world again, because when I got out, it was raining, you know. But we saw here in verse 5 that the Lord is near, so pray to him. Right? This is who Jesus is. Matthew 1 tells us that Jesus came to be Emmanuel, which is God with us. So pray to him. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus tells us to come to him, all who are heavy and weary laden, and he will give us rest. Yoke up with Jesus, right? Pray to him. Matthew chapter 28, at the very end of the chapter, Jesus says, hey, if you're a Christian, if you follow me, remember I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So pray to him. Why do we pray? Because we need him. Because we were created to walk with God and to be in a relationship with him. And so when we worry, when the worry and anxiety begins, we stop, church. Just stop. And we give it all. We give everything to him in prayer. God, I don't know how to make it through this year or this week or even this day, but I have this concern, and so I'm going to give it to you. Right now, I'm going to stop and lift all of this up to you in prayer. God, I'm going to stop and pray for you to specifically help me in this area or help this person in this area. I'm asking for your help, God, in my life, in my kid's life. I'm going to take my family and my friends to you in prayer for this need or that need in this situation or that situation. When you begin to experience an anxious thought or worry, church, I know this is going to seem oversimple, but stop and pray. Right, just stop and pray and take it all to God. List it out. You know what I've gotten really good at? Because I got ADD, right? My brain, my neighbor knows that. Like, he's like, Jeff, you were just talking about this, and now you're way over here, right? By the way, I love David as a neighbor. He doesn't like a lot of attention, by the way, so this is great for him this morning. We were talking, and I said, man, I'm so sorry for talking so much. He's like, it's okay, I like it. I don't like to talk very much. And I'm like, praise God, man. This is good stuff. God knew what he was doing when he gave me David as a neighbor. I don't know what I was talking about. Oh, church, man, just write it out. God, this is what I'm anxious about. Write it down. Give it to God. Just write it out. List it all out and give it to him. Pray over it specifically. Not just, hey, God, I'm having a hard time today. Would you take care of it? God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling being a mom today. I'm struggling being a wife today. I'm struggling being a husband. I shouldn't say that. A husband today. You know, God, I'm struggling being a dad. I'm struggling driving in Tucson today. Whatever it is, take it all to God. Just stop and pray. So Paul says, don't worry about anything, but take everything to God in prayer and trust God when you pray. That's number two. Trust God when you pray. I think this is important, church, because often when we pray, it's because we're supposed to. Right? We pray because it's the religious thing to do. Let's check that off the list. I should be good because I talked to God about it. But when 1 Peter says that we're to cast all our cares on him, are we really doing that if we aren't really trusting him? Are we really seeking him and taking our anxieties to God in prayer if we don't trust him? I sometimes picture myself taking my worries to God and I cast them on him. But then I walk away with one of those retractable keychains, you know, so that it comes with me. Are you with me, church? I ain't the only one, right? Sorry, babe, I said ain't, right? But it's in the dictionary now. But church, like, that's what we do. Like, we give it to God and then we take it back with us, right? We put it in our back pocket. We hang on to it, right? You know why we do that? Because we trust us more than we trust him. Let that set with you. When I wrote that this week, I was like, whew, that's tough. But that's why we do it. We hang on to it because we're better at handling it than God is, right? The answer to that is no, by the way, right? When we first started this series on prayer, we started with Jesus teaching us how to pray. Here's how we know we can trust God. Jesus is teaching us how to pray in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And he says in verse 9, pray then in this way. And he says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. So before we go on, I want to stop right here and see who it is that we're praying to. Church, I don't know what your dad is like here on earth or what he was like, but we are praying to the perfect, loving, awesome Father in heaven. The Father that created you, the Father that sustains you, the Father who provides for you, the Father who so loved you and gave his own son for you. We're praying to the Father who provides for us and wants what is best for us. Church, we can trust him when we pray. And then he says, hallowed be your name. Church, this is big. This reminds us of who God is. Basically, his name itself is holy, right? He is set apart. He is holy. He's above all. He's sovereign. He is on the throne. He will always be in control, and so we can trust him. Right, he is able to do, when we go to him in prayer, he is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or think. And so we can trust him. And later in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, pray to our Father in heaven, right? Hallowed be thy name. Verse 11 says, God, give us this day our daily bread. This is important. God, provide for us each and every day what we need for that day. Man, we're worried about God, provide for me 10 years from now. There's nothing wrong with looking to the future and providing and being smart and finances and all that other stuff and planning. But when he says, give us our daily bread, we are praying for God to provide for us what we need to get through that day, right? That situation. We're going to God daily in prayers and asking for him to provide for us in every moment. You know what that means on the flip side? You know, the passage doesn't say, world, give us our daily bread, right? Our trust should not be in this world. It should not be in the internet. It should be in self-help books, right? Our trust should be in Jesus, right? We can trust him. And so when the worry and anxiety comes, we stop and we immediately take it to the Lord in prayer and trust that he is good. Trust that he loves you. We got to know who God is, church. Man, he is holy. He's above all. There's nothing he can't do for you. And he'll never love you less or more than he does right now because he loves you with everything he has. He's a good father. Trust that he's going to help you and trust that he's going to give you everything that you need. Trust that he's in control. And I promise you, church, you start to trust God when you pray, it will change how you pray. Amen, pastor, right? I mean, that's a good word right there. Right, we start praying in a way where we trust God, it starts changing how we live our life. The third also comes from verse 6. Let's read this again. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So he's saying, don't worry about anything. But take everything to the Lord in prayer. Trust him when you pray. And then this, pray with a thankful heart. I try to do that on a regular basis, but just studying this passage just helped me grow this week, church. I just want you to know. Verse 6 is telling us that when we pray, we are to express thanksgiving to God. Look back with me to Matthew chapter 6 for a second. It'll be up on the screen. Jesus tells us in verse 25, he's telling us, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or about your body, what you wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then Jesus wants us to know why we can trust God. Listen to verse 26. Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? You may need to hear that this morning. Don't miss that last question that Jesus asked. He says your heavenly Father takes care of everything else in this world. Aren't you worth more than all of that? You know what the answer is? Yes, absolutely, 100%. I saw a shirt the other day, and I hope it wasn't anybody in here, but then I saw a shirt the other day, and it says animals are greater than people. That's just not true. Maybe for that person. I don't know what they're walking through. But church, man, we are so valuable to God. How do we know that? God spoke the rest of the world into creation. But you know what he did for us, for people? He formed us. Even to this day, the Bible says in Psalm 139 that he knit us together in our mother's womb. God, the Creator, knit you together. We were made in his image to be in a personal relationship with him. He breathed his life into our lungs, and so we thank him for that. No matter what we're going through, we're breathing. We can thank God for that. When we rebelled and sinned against God, he loved us. He didn't just love us. He so loved us and sent Jesus, his son, God the Son, to die in our place. And the Bible says when we trust in Jesus and call on Jesus to rescue us, we are made new, church, right? We are forgiven. We're adopted into his family. We have a forever home with him, church. And guess what? There's no more fear. There's no more pain. There's no more heartache. There's no more worry. There's no more anxiety there. And so we thank him for that because this is going to be like a vapor, whatever it is that we're going through. And so we thank him. We thank him, church, because he's near. We thank him because he's with us and he is for us and because he will never leave us. We thank him because he hears us when we pray, church. And when we start to worry about today or tomorrow or the next year, we go to him in prayer instead of worrying. And you know what we do? Instead of worrying about it, we thank God that he's going to be with us and lead us through today, tomorrow, and the next year. Instead of worrying about the future and things we cannot control, we give thanks that God holds the whole world in his hands. Instead of worrying about what we don't know, we thank God for the promises that we do know. Instead of worrying about what we don't have, thank God for all the things that he has given us and the grace that you do have. Church, take it all to God in prayer. Trust him and give him thanks. I know it seems oversimple because their self-help book says, you know, go out and paint a picture or something. I don't know. I'm not like downplaying those things. I'm just saying, pray first, church. Amen? Man, we pray and we trust God and we give him thanks. I'm really picking on self-help books today, aren't I? I don't mean to. They can be helpful after we pray, right? After we trust God, after we give thanksgiving. As long as it's biblical. We can pray, God, I thank you that you hold our lives, you hold our children, you hold our loved ones in the palm of your hand. God, we thank you for the promises to be with us, to lead us, to sustain us, to satisfy us, to guide us and provide for us every day. God, we thank you for how you lead and care for us and provide for our church family. What do we pray all the time? God, do things in and through our church that only you can take credit for. And we give him thanks for that. Church, we just listed a whole bunch of things. Are you thankful for God? Right? Are you thankful for all of these things? Are you thankful that he will be with you if you're saved? Do you tell him that? Do you tell God thank you? Church, when we take it all to him, when we truly trust him, when we realize how good he is and we give him thanks, you know what begins to happen? We begin to replace our worry with faith and trust in Him. We begin to realize that we don't have to carry it all, and we don't have to worry. We can just give it to Him. You know why? Because we have an amazing God who never fails. We have an amazing God who's in control, and He hears us, and He loves us, and He provides for us in each and every moment. And so when the worry and anxiety begins to weigh on you, and when it begins to enter into your mind, church, just stop. Just stop whatever it is. Take it all. Name it. Take it to Him in prayer. Every single worry, every single concern, and take it to Him. You know what's kind of weird? You all may have seen me do this, and I don't really care. I like it. Like, I start to feel the anxiety and the worry right here. Anybody else like me? Man, there's two places we're going to talk about here in a second. There's two places we feel worry and anxiety. It's here and here, right? It's our hearts and it's our minds. And when I feel that anxiety coming, you know what I do, Jim? I grab it and I throw it at Jesus. I've had people look at me as I'm driving down the road, and I'm like, hey, I throw yours too. Like, it's good, right? And that helps me, church. It helps me visualize what I'm doing spiritually. Y'all can make fun of me all you want, but that's what I do. Like, I just take it and I give it to Him. Thank Him for all that He's done. Give Him everything, right? That leads us to verse 7. This is what it says. Here's the promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Stopping, not worrying about anything, but praying about everything with thanksgiving and trusting in the Lord leads us to experience the peace of God in our lives. Experience the peace of God in our lives. Don't miss it, church. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. And it will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. When we place our trust and confidence in the Lord, right, we get to experience the amazing peace of God in our lives. We have peace within our minds and our hearts that God loves us and that He's going to provide for us and He's going to walk with us. I love this. It says that God's peace will guard our hearts and minds. To guard is a military term that means to keep watch over. Here's what it means. God's peace within you will stand guard over the two places in your body that carry the worry and anxiety. God is standing guard over your heart and over your mind when we pray, when we trust Him, when we give Him thanks. Now, let's be real, church. This doesn't mean that we won't face tough moments. You might face more moments. Amen, church? Right, they come. But it does mean that we can have peace during it. We can have confidence in our God as we walk through it with Him. Here's the promise that we have. If you are saved, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're adopted into the family of God, then you will, this is what the Bible says, you will experience the peace of God when you pray about everything, when you pray in thanksgiving, and when you sincerely trust in Him. God's peace comes from Him being within you. I'm going to say a statement that just rocked my world this week. God is not just saying, you have my peace. God says, you have me with you. Let me say that again. God is not just saying, you have my peace, you have me, church. And so when we experience His peace, we are experiencing God's presence, right? When we experience His peace, we're experiencing Him at work in our life. And church, that's good news because in a world that is full of worry and anxiety, He and His peace are the answer. It's not a politician, it's not a book, it's not the internet, it's not your friend, it's God. His peace guards our hearts and minds against the anxiety and worry. When we take everything to Him in prayer, when we pray with a thankful heart, and when we trust that He is the God of this universe, the God of peace says, I care for you and I will carry you. As we close today, I want to ask some questions. What is it that you are carrying? It might be small. It might be big. What is it that you are carrying? What is it that you are worried about? What is the world pulling you at? What, you get me, church? What's tearing us apart? What causes you to worry or fear? Here's my question to you. Have you stopped and taken it to the Lord? Have you casted it on Him? Whether you just kind of visualize it, you just place that on His back, or whether you just chuck it at Him. The word means both things, so you have the freedom to do both, right? Have you taken it to the Lord in prayer and casted it on Him? Have you fully trusted in Him that He is in control? Have you stopped and given Him thanks for what He has done and will do in your life? Because the Bible says, which we can trust, when we do that, we will experience His peace in our life. We overcomplicate things, don't we? Stop. Pray. Trust. Give thanks. And church, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think it's super simple because we're going to have to do it every single day. Every single day, we're going to be faced with things that this broken and fragile and anxious world throw at us. But we are loved by, we belong to a powerful, loving, and trustworthy God. And so we take it all to Him. Let's pray.